Welcome back to the Digital Dive Podcast, a conversation about tech. My name is Darsh. I am one of your hosts.
My name is Jacqueline. I'm your other host. In this week's episode, we're talking about the Easter eggs and the new Apple invite, Apple's company culture, and an application that is significantly changing Apple's company culture, iPhone 13 rumors, also iPhone 14 rumors, because John Prosser just made an absolute banger of a video that leaks what the iPhone 14 is going to look like. Plus a lot more.
If you like what you hear this episode, guys, make sure to hit the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and make sure that you get notified for every episode that we do, and it helps get this show out to more people. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Roll the intro.
You and I both have like a fascination with Easter eggs, and I think Apple's aligned with us because in every invite to events, there's always like a little bit of a teaser or an Easter egg.
Oh, absolutely.
I wanted to throw it to you and see what you noticed.
So for this year, for Apple's event, which is, I believe, on the 14th, very excited for it, September 14th, 2021, it is going to be a very, very fun event because I feel like we're going to be expecting so many cool things that we've been just waiting for so long. But this invitation in specific that's so interesting is the fact that it's actually like, it looks like AR. It looks like augmented reality or like a hologram. My initial impression was that it was a hologram, but the more I read into it, the more I was like looking into it, the more it shows up more like augmented reality, which has me very excited because what could this mean for the iPhone 13? Like, I don't know about you, Jacqueline, I haven't actually heard any rumors about specifically augmented reality with iPhone 13, like any new improvements or anything like that.
I haven't either. I've heard like some rumblings of like improvements with LiDAR and stuff like that, but I haven't heard anything major. Certainly not like the fact that it's going to be the headlining feature.
Yeah.
So I think this invite has maybe gotten people's hopes up that maybe there will be a preview of AR glasses.
Ooh, maybe this is the event where we get Apple Glass. Like, this has been something that's very much been in the works for a long time. We talked about it last episode too. Apple Glass is one of those really cool products that I know for me, at least, I'm very excited about as a glasses wearer. I think it'd be really, really cool to get to check it out. But yeah, so with this overall event invitation, you have a beautiful, what is it, backdrop? I don't even know where the backdrop is. Like, where is it supposed to be? What part of California?
I bet it's a national park.
No, it's definitely a national park, but is it the next macOS? What's the next macOS's name? Is that Monterey?
I'm not positive. It's like a mountain range around like twilight hour. But honestly, I can't tell anything more than that.
Honestly, very fair. But that's actually really cool though, because I think that is actually Monterey. So this could be an indication that we're going to be getting macOS Monterey this month alongside iOS 15, which is quite funny actually, because in the past couple of years, it's usually been you get Monterey or like macOS, the newest version, a month later than you get iOS. So maybe this is a nod to that. Or maybe there is another OS that's going to come out. Maybe like iPadOS is going to get renamed and not be called iPadOS anymore. That'd be really cool.
What do you think it would get renamed to?
I think at some point they're gonna have to rename it from just iPadOS like 15 to like iPadOS Maverick or something like that. Like, I feel like Maverick or something cool that makes it stand out, because the iPad is always evolving. Like, it is always growing, and it's become this form factor that's not just like for media consumption. It's more for productivity and media consumption and media creation. It's really like covering a lot of bases now that it didn't before.
That is true. I feel like this event, people have so many high expectations for what's going to be coming out. I don't know if we're going to see AirPods. I feel like the main thing is going to be obviously the new iPhones. My question to you, Darsh, is do you think there's going to be one more thing, like a surprise product at the end of the event?
Oh, absolutely.
You think so?
Okay, so we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Like, this marks a decade now that Tim Cook has been at Apple. He hasn't really introduced so many new products that have changed the game. And I feel like, considering he's been here for a decade, he just got paid like a $450 million buyout, all this other stuff. He's definitely up right now. He's doing really well. I would love to see it. And I really hope to see that he brings out like a one more thing that really just kind of like blows everyone away. Something that's been so tight-lipped for so long, like the Apple Glass, which like we don't really know what it looks like. We don't know what to expect with it. We just know that's in production. Like, something cool we don't know very much about would be really cool to see at this event. And if it were Apple Glass, that'd be really cool. But I have a feeling it's gonna be like AirPods 3 or something.
Yeah, dude, honestly though, I feel like AirPods are due for a refresh.
Oh, yeah.
So I would be okay with that.
I was thinking about this actually the other day. The Beats Studio Buds, they're very interesting, right? Because they're very similar in pricing to that of the AirPods, like the normal AirPods. But they offer like noise cancellation, they offer transparency mode, and all those features that you get with the Pros. So I wouldn't be surprised if Apple actually came out with a Beats Studio Buds competitor. Like, they upgraded the AirPods, the normal AirPods, to be more competitive with with the Beats Studio Buds. Why would you go buy normal AirPods if you could buy Beats Studio Buds for pretty much the same price? It doesn't make any sense because it's pretty much the same thing.
I was not a fan of Beats Studio Buds, so I'm going to disagree with you there.
Actually, no, this is fair, yeah.
But I know that a lot of people were. So my opinion on it definitely was not the popular opinion. But I feel like also AirPods just have a different brand identity. The people that buy AirPods, I feel like, are different than the people that buy Beats. Also, the demand for AirPods kind of went down a little bit with everyone staying home on the one hand because people weren't using them as much outdoors. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, people were home with their families and stuff and needed noise canceling. And everyone's on their own Zoom calls and stuff. So I kind of feel like we're again in a spot where people are going to be using them a lot. And it makes a lot of sense to launch the AirPods 3.
Honestly, yeah, I feel like AirPods 3 is going to need to come out. There's going to be need to be okay, I'm kind of hoping for a design update. Maybe this is just me, but I kind of want a new design. I want less of the long stem. I want a shorter stem, something that you'd see on the AirPods Pro. I want to see cooler interactions. Imagine if you're using your AirPods and you can swipe to increase your volume. That's a feature that I feel like we need.
Yeah.
Volume adjustment on your AirPods. Huge, huge feature that I feel like we need because it's not there yet.
That honestly, the touch sensitivity, I think would be a really big thing. I also think increase better sound quality is a big one. The sound quality is pretty decent, pretty good, but I feel like it could be a lot more full and have a little bit better of sound separation in the soundstage. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of things I'm hoping for if we even see AirPods 3. I think the big headlining thing is obviously iPhone 13. And a little bit later in the episode, Darsh and I are actually going to break down the final rumors that we have before launch next week. And then obviously also the iPhone 14 that was leaked today. But before we do that, there was another really interesting news topic that came out this week about LG saying its real folding window beats foldable glass. It actually, in the picture, looks really interesting. And it feels like there's pretty big feats happening in flexible display technology. And this is just another one. So it won't be coming out until 2023, which is actually not that far away now, which is kind of crazy. It's about a little over a year. Mm-hmm. Darsh, what do you think about this? Obviously, LG has left the smartphone space, but there's still a manufacturer of a lot of parts that other companies use.
That's the thing, right? So for Samsung, it's been a very interesting year. They came out with the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and Z Fold 5G. And they're both pretty cool phones because they were foldable phones. And that's something that you don't necessarily see in the market very often. Though LG has left the mobile industry as a whole, it's very interesting to see here how they're planning on bringing in something so much out of sci-fi movies. They're really trying to get folding glass as a thing. And I guess what they're doing now is that they're taking the plastic and making it more, they're basically improving the plastic instead of trying to fix the glass to make plastic as hard as glass, but working around the cracking issue whenever you bend it. So whether or not this actually comes into fruition, whether or not it's actually going to be the way Samsung has done their phones and their displays, I don't know. But I think it's really cool to see LG working on something like this because for one, LG has been in the TV market and in just the general consumer electronics market for so long. They know how to make screens. They know how to make display glass. They know how to do all these things very well. So I wouldn't be surprised if in their factories, in their stores, they're able to do everything and anything we need to make this an actual reality. I would be very excited to see this, and it'd be really cool if there was no crease on the next folding phones.
What do you think would be the most common use case of this besides foldable phones? Could you see this tech showing up in other categories?
For sure. I think one really cool thing would be if you look at your gauge cluster in almost any new car from 2021, 2020, for the most part, a lot of them are headed towards more of a display, but it's all flat. And I feel like one thing that a gauge cluster is very, it fits into the car very well, but I feel like if they wanted to make it more immersive and something that's more it fits into everything better, having a curved display would be very, very beneficial, I feel. For a few things in the gauge cluster, I feel like it'd just be better. So I feel like that could be a really cool real world application. Of course, screens, having a full 360 degree monitor or TV that you literally just sat in the middle of and you watch 360 degree virtual reality almost.
Ooh, yeah. Dude, that'd be so cool.
Something like this could definitely build that out, and that would be something that would be very, very cool for a lot of people, including myself, because imagine sitting down gaming instead of sitting in one of those giant closed off gaming simulators. You're just sitting in your living room, you have a huge screen just wrapped around you, and you're watching a movie, and everywhere you look, something else is going on. You're in the movie, you're living it. That's the future. I don't know when we'll see it, but this could be really, really cool. And of course, mobile phones, laptops, imagine a folding display for a laptop. That'd be cool. Or a portable monitor, stuff like that. It's very interesting stuff. I'm going to be very hard pressed to find anything else on it right now because it is still coming out over time. And like, it's going to take some time to figure out how they're doing it. And LG's been doing a really good job working on like new products that are really innovative. And so is Apple. That's what we're really excited about, the September event. But of course, Apple is also very well known for their company culture. I know that Jacqueline wanted to talk a little bit more about that this episode. So Jacqueline, Apple company culture wise, if we're part of the Apple, what would you get as being part of like in the culture of it all?
Company culture is one of the things that like fascinates me most when you're building a company. Like as an entrepreneur, one of the main goals obviously is to scale beyond yourself, right? To hire team members, to have people that are devoted to the same mission that you are. And when you're doing that, a really important skill to have is the skill to build good company culture. Like not only in terms of being a good like founder and being a good sounding board for people and creating an inclusive environment, but also in terms of like all of your employees should be relatively like morally aligned on the similar stuff. Definitely they should be aligned on the mission of the company. And also it's great like if your employees actually like each other and like are friends and there's a community. So that's something that honestly for me has been like something I'm trying to learn a lot about and something that naturally I just really enjoy doing. Obviously like with the MBT company, like kind of expanding that a little bit and getting to work with people has been incredible. And Apple obviously has almost the same challenge, but on a much bigger scale. Thousands and thousands of employees. But at the end of the day, like the company will only function if everyone is pretty much aligned on the same goals and the messaging. Apple, I think, is having a little trouble actually, because with remote work now being a thing at least until January 2022 for Apple because of the new Delta variant, they delayed moving back into the office. All of the company culture building is happening over video calls and Slack. And that's the case for a lot of different companies where Morning Brew is a company that has gotten significantly bigger during the pandemic. Google, like all these major companies have to create that same type of company culture, the same type of conviction in their employees and friendship and role models and stuff like that, but all digitally. And that is such a challenge to create the same type of love remotely for the company and for the mission. And also issues can kind of fester underneath because like when you're in a work environment, it's easier just to have like incidental meetings where I feel like doing everything over text is less than adequate. Like you can't see like body language and nonverbal signals. And I guess there's been a lot of stuff going on this year also that has just like kind of a social movement of wanting more equality and things like that and wanting more social activism. It's kind of created this perfect storm where employees now feel like they have the ability to voice their opinions on social justice issues. And then also because of the pandemic, they're obviously scared to go into the office because of COVID. So the initial thing started with Slack becoming a major way that employees were kind of like banding together to say like, hey, we do not want to come into the office with COVID. Like we just do not feel safe. And that was kind of how it started. And then Apple pushed back the date to January 2022 when the Delta variant started getting a little out of hand. But now the Slack is being used for other social justice things. And I don't really have like an educated enough opinion on this to say like one way or another, like if the employees are justified or in the right, because I haven't been able to read specifically about each issue that's being brought up. But I just thought like the topic as a whole is really interesting of how like Slack can kind of define company culture and how because there's been so much social activism in different niches, like people are feeling more empowered in every field.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Like this is all coming from the Zoe Schiffer interview, right?
Yeah.
Just generally, I haven't done a ton of research into it. I don't know a ton about it, but from everything that I am reading, there's a lot going on within Apple's community and their culture. And like, I can't really comment on a ton of it. And I don't really know how to comment on a ton of it. It's just a very interesting discussion and interview talking about like all the different things going on. Like whenever you look at something like a company like Apple or Google or Microsoft, you're always going to be looking at it like, oh, wow, like, I would love to work there. And like, it, by no means is it wrong or like bad to want to work there. But it's interesting because it's always grass is greener on the other side. Like the people who work there probably feel the same way about going to different companies or working in different situations because not everyone's happy in the place that they're at. But in this specific situation, it just seems that there's a lot of like toxicity and like hostility in the Apple community. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it, maybe misunderstanding it, but it is very, very weird and something I wasn't expecting.
I think what's really interesting about these giant companies is that obviously their personal branding is very meticulous and people really want to work at like the big tech companies, not only for financial reasons, but also like for the kind of like the social status of it. Mm-hmm. If you're working at Google, like immediately people just respect you or a lot of people respect you. But I've actually talked to several Google employees that have since left. And when I was younger, working at Google was actually like my dream job. I watched the movie The Internship and I was like, Google is the coolest place ever. Like I really want to work there. The general consensus that I've gotten from everyone that I've talked to that has left Google is like those perks were there to keep you working later. Like they serve dinner really late in the night. So you would still be at your desk eating dinner and like your gym is there. So you you would come in on the weekend and go to the gym and then quickly go to your desk and check on some stuff. So like it kind of promotes a culture of working a lot. But then there are also the benefits that they mentioned of like incredible company culture of like people like retreats and doing stuff together, and also like flexible working hours. Like as long as you get the work done, they don't really care when you do it. Mm-hmm. So I think there are advantages and disadvantages. But I just like think when you're working at a company of this size, there's of course going to be people with different like political and social beliefs because it's like a huge company, hopefully a big diversity of backgrounds, right? So you'll probably get people that are to take something that's super politicized, like pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, even though it's like a health issue, like political affiliation can affect that. So I think there's been some backlash on like vaccine mandates and then working from home and things like that. So it's just like when you have that big of a company, it's much harder to instill like a uniform culture living at a time like this where there's a lot of different things going on.
Absolutely. And you know, company culture is a really hard thing to maintain and to even invoke. Like I know a lot of people, like a lot of friends, even like myself, like have worked in like smaller companies, and it is definitely like a very huge factor and a huge part of growing that business. And the podcast for us isn't just a thing that we do on the side. It is also something that we want to grow as a business and like as a community. We want to build it with you guys. And I just want to quickly talk about this before we head to a break, but we set a goal for this podcast to hit 150 ratings on Apple Podcasts before the end of the year. I hope that our company culture is pretty good. I mean, Jacqueline and I have a lot of fun going on these calls and chatting. Luke, I hope you enjoy our company culture for all that it is, even though it's like
three of us.
It's just the three of us chatting in an off-topic channel. But anyway, if we hit this goal of 150 ratings on Apple Podcasts, we do plan on doing a live chat with the Digital Dive listeners, getting to chill and like talk to you guys a little bit and answer some questions and just overall celebrate. So help us hit this goal by rating us now while we take a quick break to go get some espresso, maybe a cold brew for Jacqueline, but I know I'm going to get an espresso. I need a little bit of a wake up.
Do you want to make your promise here of if we hit a certain amount of ratings by next week, you'll send funny selfies?
Ooh, okay. Okay. So anyone who sends a rate, who does a rating this week and tweets it at me that you did the rating, share it with me so I know you did it, like prove it. And I will reply to you with a funny tweet selfie of myself. I hope you enjoy.
How could you not?
It's quite the deal. No one gets selfies from me. I mean, I don't think I've ever sent Jacqueline a selfie.
I think you sent me one when you like cut your hair and it was like a stark difference. And that's it. So I've gotten one, guys.
So you guys want a selfie from me, go rate the podcast. But anyway, I'm going to grab a coffee and we'll be right back.
iPhone 13 rumors were a week away from launch.
We've done a lot of rumor breakdowns for the iPhone 13. I think we've been doing this literally since January, probably even earlier than that, probably like September of last year, right after iPhone 12 dropped. Because there are no shortage of iPhone leaks ever. Like there are already the leaks for the 14 that are coming out. So I do want to talk about a couple of the last minute ones that have come out in the past couple of weeks that caught my attention. In specific, in the last week, we have now found out that the event is on September 14th, as we mentioned before. We're expecting a global launch of the phone to be on September 24th, according to the prolific leaker, John Prosser. So that'll be something that's very interesting to see. I'm excited to check it out. There was a report that suggested a September 17th launch date, but I feel like that has now been fixed. It has now been revised. The iPhone 13, I think for sure, will end up having pre-orders on the 17th and then the actual phone on the 24th. So if you guys are going to pick one up, definitely be ready to just wake up early on the 17th to set that pre-order, because I actually have never done it. Jacqueline, have you ever actually stayed up and like done a pre-order from Apple?
Every single year for the last 5 years.
How does that, like, is it hard to get it? Do you have to actually be up like really early to get it?
Yeah, it is pretty brutal actually, depending on like what time zone you're in at the time. Like I've been on the East Coast for one of them. I was on the West Coast for one of them. The timing of it is always sometime in the middle of the night or like really late night. So you have to get up. And then also some years it's stressful. Like it's a little bit better now. Like either less people are pre-ordering or the supply has increased. With the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, I feel like they instantly sold out. Like it was very hard.
No, that's pretty fair. I'm definitely going to be pre-ordering one this year. I've been needing a phone upgrade for a while and I'm thinking that the iPhone 13 is going to be it. Definitely excited to spend probably what's going to end up being like $1,500 Canadian.
Dude, are you going to cover it on Capital Reviews, Darsh's new channel? Shameless plug, check it out.
Absolutely. Just a little bit of a shameless plug. By the time you guys hear this, my Galaxy Z Flip 5G review will be out. So go check that out. Pretty cool video. I thought
Oh, did you film that?
It's filmed. I believe it's being edited right now, if not already been done by the time we upload this. It should be.
That's sick.
That video is in the queue at the moment. So if you guys want to go support me on my new channel, go check it out, guys. Capital Reviews. I'll link it down below. But... Sorry, I just had to make it. I had to try to make it like a funny way. iPhone 13, yeah, I'll definitely be picking that up. I'll be reviewing each of the variants or variations of it on the new channel. So definitely stay tuned for that. September 14th, we can expect a launch. But there's actually there's more leaks than just when we're going to get it. And this is like a week before we're going to actually like get all this stuff, which is really funny because like just so much cool stuff. Like I had never heard that there was going to be satellite communications support in the iPhone 13. Like I actually hadn't seen any of these rumors. I feel like they've been out, but I hadn't seen any until like now. So pretty much like, Jacqueline, did you see this? Satellite communication support?
No, I have not seen that.
They're saying, or like the rumors are showing, that there's going to be support for satellite communications on the iPhone 13 using a customized baseband chip. There's a lot of analysts that pretty much quickly doubted the claims that it wasn't going to happen, that the rumor was not actually backed or supported by like a lot of people. But according to Bloomberg, their Mark Gurman claims that satellite communication will be included for handsets in specific or select markets. I think what this means is that you're going to be able to pretty much turn your iPhone into a satellite, like a sat phone. It's either going to be for the uber rich or it's going to be for officials, like government officials. President Biden would probably get that, a satellite communication version of the iPhone 13, locked down and powered by like BlackBerry or something. I think that could definitely be where it goes, but we don't know if it's actually going to happen. It is still a rumor. Jacqueline, what would you think though of like a sat phone iPhone?
I personally would not find any value in that, but I am definitely not the demographic. So I kind of think it would be a weird choice though, to be honest. I feel like it kind of goes against what Apple's been doing recently, like in terms of move a little bit more towards a service business model, but then actually providing the most amount of phone options possible to get every niche is in service of that mission of getting like more iPhone users to then loop them into services. So actually I'm kind of changing my mind. Maybe 20% likelihood.
I feel like it could be a really cool thing. I feel like the only time I'd ever actually get use out of a sat phone would be like if you're on vacation on like a cruise or something and like you need like data.
True.
And even then, like, aren't sat phone plans like really expensive? I don't know. I feel like in select markets means like Dubai.
You think it's just gonna be Dubai? That's so random.
No, like Dubai in the sense like very wealthy, high GDP companies, like countries, with a lot of wealthy individuals. I don't know where I'm going with that. I was kind of just going to like to say the sat phones are really expensive for no reason, but it kind of makes sense why they are expensive. Anyway, something is expensive, and multi-probably billion-dollar investment on Apple's front over the past decade has been Siri. I believe Siri actually was announced for the iPhone 4.
Was it the iPhone 4S?
No, you're right. iPhone 4S. So it was 2011. So 10 years later now, Siri is being used to tease the event. And of course, as always, we plan on seeing Siri improvements, but that's just going to be with iOS 15 and like macOS and stuff over time. In specific, you can ask Siri on your phone now different questions like, what will Apple announce on September 14th? She'll reply, you can't hurry news. No, you'll just have to wait, which is actually a take on a chorus from a song called You Can't Hurry Love by the Supremes. I wonder if that in and of itself is a hint. Like, it has to be. Like, why would they choose that?
Yeah, of course. There's a reason they picked that song.
Absolutely. That's what they do, though. Apple wants to be that company that just has Easter eggs on Easter eggs on Easter eggs, and I'm kind of for it. It's kind of really cool because you have to, like, actually use your brain a little bit and think about, like, what they could be talking about.
Totally. I love Easter eggs. Like, honestly, if you're an active member of an audience to engage in them, obviously, I'm, like, a fan of them because I do them a lot. But I think Apple's, like, one of the best companies. They do themed logos as well around, like, holidays and stuff. This definitely has to mean something. Like, there's definitely a reason that they picked that song. It could honestly be as basic as, like, it being the favorite song of Tim Cook or something. But I feel like there's definitely a reason.
No, there's definitely a reason. But, like, we'll ultimately find out next week when we do hear, or actually, by the time you guys hear this, it'll be happening tomorrow. So by the time you guys hear this episode, this is all the stuff you need to know. Well, not all the stuff, but this is a lot of stuff that you should keep in mind because literally tomorrow you guys will be seeing the iPhone 13 for the first time because this episode is going to be coming out at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern on Monday, September 13th.
Oh, shoot. So we're one day before.
We're one day before it comes out.
That's actually good. That means like this information will be relevant for a little bit.
Exactly. But the funniest thing about Apple, though they may be so very well tight-lipped, you still get rumors for the latest devices years ahead. Like, we may be talking about a week before the event, like, giving out some rumors. No. The 2022 iPhone 14 actually has leaked renders that look legit and actually come from, like, John Prosser, a reputable source that he used a ton of times. And it's kind of sick. We have to talk about this before the end of the episode. Jacqueline, you saw these renders. Like, what do you think about it?
Okay, let's just go over how John did this and if, like, they're legit. So, first thing, John Prosser is an incredible YouTuber, really smart guy, good friend of mine. Just launched a website called frontpagetech.com, which also has like exclusives. He's kind of known for a tech news show that has a lot of exclusives about Apple and other companies, mainly Apple though. He has a really good track record, so I'm very inclined to believe that this is legit, or at least it is legit in the moment. Obviously, it could change because the iPhone 14 is a while away, But also, like, Apple, of course, is already working on the iPhone 14 because they have to stay ahead of releases. Like, there's no way they're not already in the throes of that. The way he leaked this is he kind of made an event. The second he found out about the iPhone 13 launch event, he started teasing this because obviously it will get a lot of views right now. And then today, he did it as, like, an exclusive video launch with then exclusives on the website and an extensive amount of renders so other YouTubers could download it and cover it, which is honestly big props to him for doing that. Basically, it shows a notchless iPhone with a hole punch cutout, titanium sides, looks very reminiscent of like the iPhone 4.
Oh my goodness. Yes, it is absolutely absurd. This gets me so hyped because I'm so excited for this design. Like, this would make me want to skip the 13 just in terms of design. But like, again, I'm going to say this like real quick. These are all renders and based off rumors and speculation for what could happen. The phone is still a year away and it could look very different.
Basically, they get pictures. He gets pictures sent to him from like people that are inside. And then in order to make sure that their identities don't get revealed, they re-render it as an image.
Yeah.
This image is based on a picture that they got from a leak, but obviously things could change over a year, but it's not like a concept design. Like, it was based off of...
This is based off like actual leaked image of the phone itself in its like current production phase or like how they're designing it. To break it down in the most descriptive I can be personally, it looks like an iPhone 4 that had a baby with the iPhone 12 and then... That baby really, really liked working out, slimmed down its weight. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way I can describe it. Got rid of the little belly, so the camera bump, gone. Decided to cut its hair, so no big notch on the screen. It's just a hole punch. So now he's got a buzz cut. There are two speakers on the bottom that are just little slits.
And still lightning.
I don't know how to describe that and try to make it I don't know if I'm being funny or if I'm just being annoying. So if you guys don't like what I'm trying to do here, let me know.
If you guys don't like what Darsh is trying to do, like, just send us hate comments to the Twitter.
Oh, no, not hate comments. Oh, my goodness.
The perks of a podcast is, like, you won't actually get, like, hate-filled comment section.
Yeah, you don't get, like, straight responses. You'll get, like, tweeted at. Pretty much, though, it does just look like an iPhone 4, but in an iPhone 12 body in terms of its, like, form factor. So you have, like, a 6.1-inch and a 6.7-inch version, and then you have three cameras on the backside. An interesting addition this year is actually you have the LiDAR sensor on the bottom of the three cameras rather than on the top, and you have your flash on the top. And then the buttons are reminiscent of an iPhone 4 and 4S with circular buttons on the side for volume rocker, as well as, of course, like a full glass back and titanium rails, which is different than the iPhone 4 and 4S. But it is actually a very interesting look. Like, I'm very much here for it. And I like the hole punch cutout for the camera versus the notch. Like, I'm happy that this is something that they've actually like thought about now. Maybe we won't even get a notch this year. Who knows?
That is so unlikely though.
It's definitely unlikely, but like, I would love to see it.
I feel like constantly looking forward, like especially like another generation, is kind of toxic because it makes it so like people never feel satisfied with the purchase. I've been seeing a lot of people say today, like, oh, you know what? Now I'm not going to buy the iPhone 13. There will always be a new one.
That's literally what I was just saying, right? Like, I was like, okay, now I don't want to buy the 13. I want to buy the 14. But at the same time, the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, these are also still like renders built off of a mock-up that hasn't even gone into full production yet. There is still another 9 months before they actually put this into like rampant production to like produce for the masses. This is an idea of what the future could look like. It's not an indication or a promise of what it will look like.
Time will tell, honestly, like what this ends up being, but it is like super interesting to have this much insight into a product this far in the future. And honestly, like, I would love to know Apple's reaction to this, which is something we'll probably never find out. But like, I wonder if they like the news coverage, or if they're kind of upset when John or other people leak like such massive things so far ahead of launch, because John has leaked like AirPods Max, iPhones, and it's been really, really accurate months in advance.
John Prosser is a very, very well-known and like smart leaker. Like, he leaks so much and he usually actually is like pretty accurate for it. So it's very interesting. This is definitely something that I like to see this week. It was very interesting and kind of surprised me because he dropped this last night, like on the website. He shut it down the website, said something big coming tomorrow. That was something I liked this week. It was very hyped. It was trending on Twitter at the drop, which I thought was really interesting. I'm going to just kind of move us over to stuff we liked this week. John Prosser, I really like the iPhone 14 exclusive first look. Appreciate it, man. Hope you're listening to this. If you are, hi. What's going on?
Nice to meet you. I got to give him props for that. And also, like, his personal branding is so on point.
Oh, absolutely.
My first one for this week is actually the Yes Theory podcast. So it's another podcast. It's produced by Headspace Studios. Yes Theory is like an incredible YouTube channel with the mantra of all the best things in life are out of your comfort zone and seeking discomfort will get you what you want in life. And their podcast kind of shows like the other side of that coin of like the mental health things that they've gone through in being a YouTube channel that's a small team and producing content so regularly that's constantly like pushing the boundaries and putting them outside of their comfort zone. comfort zone. And the podcast also talks about like other positive stuff like personal development and mentorship and stuff like that. It's just a really well done show. If you like their YouTube channel, you'll definitely like the podcast.
I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. I didn't know it was produced by Headspace.
Yeah.
Headspace is actually a really, really dope app. I've used it like a ton of times. Like it's genuinely really, really dope.
I use it all the time.
It's so good. And like the voiceovers are so well done.
Totally. I like only use it when I'm in like a mental health crisis, like when I'm on the verge of breaking down. So I definitely should make it more of a habit versus like when I'm very overwhelmed about something. But anytime I do put it on, like I'm like, damn, I can respect this production quality. The visuals and the animations and everything are so well done that you definitely feel like a little more calmed and it makes meditation more fun.
Absolutely. I like that one. I'm definitely going to check it out, especially if the voiceovers and the conversation is just as good as Headspace. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but like Drake's new album, I don't know if I mentioned it like as a precursor because it was coming out.
I feel like you may have.
So Drake's album came out. CLB came out. It's something I liked this week. I didn't love it. I liked it more than Donda. I thought that the album was good. I thought it was well produced. It was well made. Great features. I didn't necessarily love. Basically, it just didn't reach my expectations. But also, like, I'm a really big Drake fan, so my expectations were really, really high, and I just didn't hear anything that blew me away. But that's absolutely okay. That kind of thing happens, and I respect his grindiness also to put out an album like this because it was really, really well done. And I think that it definitely did do, for me at least, was better than Donda, like Kanye's album. Also, fun fact, Drake in 3 days surpassed the number of streams on CLB than Kanye did in a week for Donda.
Wow. And what didn't you love about the album?
Honestly, I don't even know how to describe it. It's more so like I had an expectation and I feel like that expectation hadn't been reached, but I can't even describe the expectation.
Okay.
It's like one of those things, like it's in my head, like I wanted something that just wasn't there, or like I was expecting something that just wasn't there. It wasn't his best album to date. It wasn't the best piece of work he's put out, but I was just like expecting it to be the best thing he's put out, I guess.
Okay.
But I'd still say go listen to it. Like it was a good album and like Drake is Drake. Like it's pretty fuego.
I will definitely check it out after this episode. I was a fan of like the cover art. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, my next one for this week is also in the music space. Happier Than Ever. I think I mentioned this in the podcast before. Billie Eilish's new album. I'm a huge fan of the title track. I know a lot of people like the second part of the title track, and she just released that as a single, just the second part. I honestly feel like the original song is better because there's like the buildup. It's super quiet and then it gets loud. So like you feel the tension rise. But if you're one of those people that just like the second part, that was something I definitely liked this week. And it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay, absolutely. I will definitely check that out. I've been on like a hunt for new music since like the new school year for me is starting. I want to get like some cool playlists going. My other stuff I liked this week, something I liked this week was the Mr. Beast video that came out the past, I think first one came out last week and the second one came out this week. He was giving away $500,000 and first video was everyone standing in a circle and the circle was slowly closing over time. And I think people ended up spending 12 days in that circle without leaving to a point where they had to just stand in one place with like a bunch of other, like it was just like, in Mr. Beast fashion, it was very, very, very difficult looking and sounded and looked absolutely terrible and hard to do. Really respect everyone who participated. But I thought it was even cooler because Air-Rock was in it.
Yeah.
It added like a whole new level of like entertainment. That was very interesting. And it was two parts. It was the first video he's posted in like 3 weeks. Really good video. Go check it out, guys. Mr. Beast video from the past 2 weeks, literally the most recent too.
I had so much respect for Eric for doing that because he was in the circle for like 2 weeks. Like,
no, literally 12 days.
Unreal.
Unreal. I don't know how someone could do that.
Props for the dedication. They both made pretty interesting videos about it. My last one for this week is also a video by Hayden Hiller-Smith, who is, I feel like, the go-to YouTube editor. He won the Streamy Award this year for like best YouTube editing. He's so talented. I love his videos. So my recommendation is just his channel. If you're a content creator and you're looking to improve your editing skills and storytelling skills through editing, his videos are like a masterclass in good pacing. And he also gives like a lot of actionable, tangible tips to make the videos better.
My last one for this week, I was just trashing on it a lot, but it was Donda.
No way.
Okay, so here's the thing. Look, I've listened to it a few times and there are certain songs on that album, I'll actually name them out, that I just thought were, I don't know what it was, they were very calming to me. I don't know what it was about it that made it so calming or peaceful, but I really did enjoy it. One of them was Jonah. I thought that one was really, really interesting. I liked the way that he sampled everything. Moon was another one that was really, really good. I think I also really liked Hurricane and No Child Left Behind and Jail. Those are a couple of the ones that I liked. There was a lot on the album I did enjoy. Thought CLB was better, but I did like it. And the same way I wanted to share that with you guys, I also want to share with you, this is the end of the episode. I really do appreciate you guys watching. And before you guys do go, I do want to give you guys a huge reminder. We're setting a goal for this podcast at 150 ratings on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys want to drop a rating, tweet it at me, show me some proof, and I will make sure to tweet you back with a nice selfie. With that all being said, thank you guys so much for listening. Huge shout out to Adil Constantine for intro and outro music. Also huge thank you to Luke Fabricatori for all of our amazing edits. My name is Darsh. Thanks for listening.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this one. Have an awesome day, and we will catch you next week, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern.
Bye-bye.